Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how are you? It's Wednesday already. It's hard to believe that. It's already Wednesday, but we're here. I'm here, and the Pirates are present with us as well. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. It is the Fan in the Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, where you can call at this really early time of the morning. Perhaps you're strange and you wake up early this morning naturally. Perhaps you are prepared for an early job like I have, or perhaps you are finishing your job from an overnight shift. Either way, call 412-928-9370. Interact with me this morning as I talk about Pittsburgh sports and other nonsense that comes from my head through my mouth. 412-928-9370. Talk to me on X. Follow me on there as well. Tag me in a post. At Callas underscore 33 is the handle. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. And you can go to YouTube.com, search 93.7 The Fan in the YouTube search bar, and you'll find our live stream where you can look at us live in studio on video. So you can watch radio on a video stream and join the live chat that exists next to that live video stream. So three ways to directly communicate with me this morning. I do read comments from those last two, and I hear your comments on the phone at 412-928-9370. First of all, I'd just like to say the sun. We're at that point in the year now where the sun is actually starting to rise. I can see a wee bit of light coming from the sky. The sun is rising at this point in the morning, which is cool, usually during standard time, and then the early portions of daylight savings time in March and April, there's just pitch blackness outside. No longer the case that is. Now we're at the point where there's the sun rising. So we're getting longer days, it looks like, which is super exciting. I'm excited for that. That summer's coming around. Hopefully the warmth will kind of carry over too. It was warm throughout the day yesterday, and then it got cold last night. Today is a high of 67, a low of 49, 80% chance of rain. That's kind of a bummer. Tomorrow's supposed to be a high of 53, bummer. Friday, a high of 66, eh. And then on Saturday, I'm scared because I'm supposed to go to South Fayette for the youth baseball and softball showcase and do some umpiring, but early forecast projections are showing a 45% chance of thunderstorms on Saturday, a high of 78. It's going to be warm, but yeah, there's thunderstorms not looking great. Sunday, same thing, thunderstorms with a high of 78 degrees. But then you get some rain in the early projections for next week, but the high is supposed to reach 89 on Monday and Tuesday. Not bad. Not bad. I'd like the warm, though. I'd like it to warm up a good bit. Looks like it's going to do that. I just hope the rain stays away long enough for baseball to be played on Saturday morning, because I love those youth baseball and softball showcases. 10 a.m. out there in South Fayette. So if you're in the South Fayette area, you can expect to see 93.7 The Fan. You can expect to see me out there, and Doran will be there as well. Adam, I don't know if he's going to go prepare for a baseball game or not, but he's got some things going on with his daughters. But hopefully he can come out too. But we'll see. No promises on him. But I'll certainly be there for sure, and I'll be officiating, so you might hate me if you're out there. I'll say this, though, in all seriousness. I was making a joke there, but it is inspiring to see that most of the teams that I've umpired for so far this season have been pretty, like the parents and coaches have been pretty mild, have been pretty understanding, have been pretty pleased with the job that I've been doing. Nobody's been excessively combative with me or you know, there's been no verbal altercations, really. I mean, now it's not zero, but it's definitely a lot less than I anticipated. And I always get scared because I don't want, you know, I don't like conflict like that. I like when everything goes smoothly, and I try to maintain control as best I can. And ever since I've been umpiring, and I guess I've been talking about it, I've been getting a lot of videos on social media of just where, like, officiating goes wrong and you see a bunch of fights on the field and stuff. And the most extreme of circumstances, you know, they come up on my timeline now, which I always stop to watch. It scares me a little bit, but at the same time, though, like, I'm grateful in this area, at least, like, there's been nothing that I've been a part of that's been, like, excessive. Everybody's been pretty cool. A lot of the coaches have, you know, held their players accountable to, you know, adjusting to things instead of complaining and having a bad attitude, and I always do appreciate that. So that's nice to see, for sure. So there's still some faith. Again, I think officials still have to do a good job, and I try to do my part. And, you know, I feel like also the effort I give makes parents and coaches also a little more reassured that at least, you know, they know I'm giving an effort, and that streak goes both ways too when I talk about this, because I'm not also going to sit here and say that all officials are, you know, always the best and always motivated and giving their best effort, because, you know, I've seen it at times. I get it. You know, I've played too, and I've not liked every official that I've ever had when I've played, but, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, I know I'm giving a good effort, and I think that, you know, coaches see that and parents see that, and, you know, that's all they want. You know, consistency and effort, I think, is big. So, but I'm having fun with it. Again, I also want to promote the youth baseball and softball showcases that we're doing all throughout the baseball and softball season through the spring and summer. And like I said, this weekend I'll be out at South Fayette. So that's the feature for this week. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You can give me a phone call. And I also see some chats going live right now from people watching on YouTube. And we got Tony that says, the depressing thing about the first day of summer is that from there, all the days get shorter again. Yeah, that's true. I do hate that. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, what is it? June 20th, June 21st. That is the first day of summer because it is the longest day of the season, of the year, not just the season. I'm talking in sports terms. Yeah, that first day of summer is the longest day of the year. So, yeah, that is true. Every day after that, the days get shorter. That's a fair point. Tony also says, I've been a high school and college sports official for over 30 years in Michigan. Average age of an official is 58. Parents and kids need to respect the position or there won't be anybody left doing it. No, I agree with that too, man. I certainly agree with that too. I mean, that's something that, like, there was a play yesterday I did in the game, and it was like the second baseman was covering first base because the first baseman had to charge and get a soft ground ball. And I'm the only umpire out there. I'm the home plate umpire. And so, like, there's only so much I can see from that view. And I think there was a runner on third that was trying to come home, and the infield tried to get an out at first base. So the first baseman flipped the ball to the second baseman, who stepped behind the first base bag. So I'm behind home plate. So all I saw him was get close to first base, and I thought he stepped on the base. And so I said, ball's there, out. And the first base coach was like, no, man, he missed the base. He missed the base. I said, enough, you know, he's out. And so everything moved forward. And after the inning, you know, he approached me, and I was like, what's up, man? You know, what do you need? And he's like, you know, I was like, I wish there were two umpires. Like, there used to be two umpires at this age, and now there's only me. You know, and I don't know how you can expect me to see him. Even if he did miss first base, you know, I don't know how you can expect me to see him miss the bag from this angle if he was that close to the base even, you know, because I thought he hit it. And he's like, well, you know, I had to argue. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, nah, you didn't. You know, I don't think you did. I'm trying my best. You know, you guys won 6-0. Hey. And they were winning by a good bit at the time, but they ended up winning 6-0. And I'm like, hey, you know, hey, maybe you didn't need to say anything. You know, but that's kind of the thing too, is like, you know, I do believe it's one of those occupations that you have where, like, you know, people don't want to deal with that controversy either. And I mean, it takes a certain brand of person to be able to manage these games and do these things. So, I mean, yeah, man. I mean, I get you, Tony. That's a good comment. I mean, you know, officials just seem to be getting older and older. And I think it's because, I mean, younger people don't want to be put in those awkward spots, and younger people don't I think, at times want that extra conflict and want to have an occupation where, like, you feel like there's conflict that's going to come your way all the time. I mean, you've got to have a certain demeanor about you, like, and I'm not for officials that are mean either. I mean, I don't like when officials are mean, and I've heard of mean officials as well, and they think that they're controlling things by being overly assertive. I don't think that's the case either. You've got to have a special balance of your personality to, like, be willing to educate, be willing to explain your rulings, but you also have to be firm because you don't want to let, anybody walk over you if you're making calls. Like, you want to make your calls with confidence and break the tie between the two teams whenever there is a close call. And also balls and strikes, because that's really hard to view as well. And I think that I don't know exactly why, but I remember I didn't like it after a while when I was out of college because, I did this one tournament and there were so many combative coaches and it just made me hate doing it for a little bit there. And then I got my second job for a couple of years there. Now I don't. That's why I'm back. And I've actually liked it. I think I've been more firm as I continued to age and have experience, and so I'm moving forward. But, all right, yeah, thanks for talking about officiating with me. Appreciate it. Those of you on the YouTube chat, we can, we already got our guy Matthews on here, A1 Matthews, who says, enough with the umpire talk, Callis. Time to get to Pittsburgh sports. Yeah, that's fine. Paul Skeens has done some historic things back-to-back. Shutout games when pitching 8 innings for Paul Skeens. That hasn't happened since 1996. And back-to-back 8-inning outings when giving up 2 or fewer hits hasn't happened since Steve Blass did it in the late 1960s. Paul Skeens is different. Yes. He's different. And really what I want to talk about and kind of focus on, and again, call 412-928-9370. You can talk about anything Pittsburgh sports related. 412-928-9370. How good is Paul Skeens? I mean, how good can Paul Skeens be? Are we going to see a no-hitter or a perfect game from Paul Skeens this season? I mean, he had an abysmal start against the New York Mets at the beginning of the season. He's since calmed it down. Things have been great for him. His ERA is now at 1.98, he has a career ERA of 1.97, and since that start against the Mets, his ERA has been 1.31. I don't always think when we're in the moment, we're conscious of how great certain players are, and I think that, fans need to appreciate the player that Paul Skeens is and how good and effective that he is, and he's now reaching what I think is coming to be the actual prime of his career. Like, it is insane how well he's doing on the mound, and I think that needs to be illustrated properly. And Dan Zangrilli, who does Pirates pregame and postgame on 93.7 The Fan, really illustrated it yesterday and just talked about how magnificent it is. And it's like, Dan, I believe, described it when I listened last night as like, it's like video game type numbers. Like, if you're playing on the beginner or rookie settings in a video game, that's what Paul Skeens is like. It's like it's the highest level does not faze him at all, and he actually excels, and it is amazing. I mean, that's for sure. And I think everybody needs to recognize that. And so the question is, are you appreciating Paul Skeens? Do you think Paul Skeens can get a no-hitter done this season? Is Paul Skeens, despite his first start of the season, is he Cy Young Award worthy? Do you think he could win the most valuable player in the National League? Like, where is the ceiling for this guy? If not this season, I mean, I feel like that could happen in the coming seasons. But, like, has he recovered enough? I was scared after the start against the Mets. It's the New York Mets to open the season, but, I mean, he's recovered now, and his ERA, again, is now below 2 again. 412-928-9370. It's 412-928-9370. There's Kenneth Moore in the YouTube chat. Shake my head. Okay, the side job talk. There's NBA playoffs going on in other sports. Kenneth, this is my show, man. It's my show. I don't care. It's my show. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. But there's plenty of other people that want to be here. Just saying. Tired of the negativity. You got people on the YouTube chat And people calling me on the phone saying I'm too negative. And then we got these people on the YouTube chat being extremely negative. I just wanted to tell a story to warm up. That's all. Majority of people start listening around 5:20 anyway. We got the stats. Sheesh. Joseph on the YouTube chat. Dodgers lost to the Giants last night after being up 2-0. Buccos are a good team. Yeah. How about the Giants rattling off some wins here? 2-3 against the Pirates, now beating the Dodgers. How about that? All right, let's get to the phone lines. We got some people on the line. So whatever sports-related topic you'd like to address, feel free to do so on the phone line, 412-928-9370. We'll start with this caller. Good morning. What's your name?
Pete.
Hello, Pete. What's up?
So no one probably wants to hear this, but you talked about it, the whole umpires being old. Kids today spend their whole lives having umpires. There's no pickup games anymore, so you don't get used to, like, arguing with your friends over safe and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have any concept of even how to do it. We tried to do a pickup game once to let the kids umpire themselves, and it was a hot mess. Maybe, I don't know, the CCAC needs to do a class and combine with Whipple and do pickup games where they train kids on how to be refs or something. I don't know. They need to fix it, though. I'm 60, and people keep begging that I ref, and I'm like, I'm 60, but can't get a 25-year-old to do it.
Yeah, Pete, I hear you, and thanks for the call. I mean, this is a great – I mean, I think it's a great discussion. I don't think it's a bad discussion to have, you know, especially with youth sports in strict season now, at least baseball, youth sports, and softball. I got started by – I was interested in it, you know, as a way to make money. And I was in high school when I started. So, or middle school, I think I was in eighth grade, but like, you know, the whole point is like the coaches would even encourage us to umpire as, you know, as high schoolers, or like our rec coaches would tell us, hey, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to do this, because the coaches also wanted us to have the umpire's perspective, so that when we would play in games, we might have a little more empathy for the umpires whenever we were in games. And I can tell you that I learned rules that I had no idea about prior to being trained and actually being in games as a 14-year-old. So, you know, I think that that's lost too, because now you've got, I mean, there's just been fewer and fewer umpires. And now, like, even in Greentree, where, you know, I grew up, now the umpires are crewed through a professional association where you've got to be 18 or older to be a part of it. And so it's like, now there's not even a door open for kids really to get in there. And I don't know how that could change, but that's just what I've seen, is like, I don't know how much encouragement there is anymore for these people to show up. And I actually hosted an umpire clinic once when I was like 20 or 21 for some prospective grade school age kids to learn how to umpire, and only one showed up. So it was, you know, not great numbers. And you know, I don't know where the factors are in that. I'm not sure if it's parents just not getting kids interested or ushering them in there. I don't know if it's coaches no longer having the good idea that to have these guys get the umpire's perspective by actually doing the job. Or maybe kids just don't care enough, and they're like, well, I'm not going to do a good enough job anyway. Why would I even invest my time in this? I can get money by, you know, working at a convenience store or doing whatever that they're going to do as a side job while they're in school. I don't know. I just like the nature of it, because I love baseball so much, and that's why I decided to pursue it, and I've had a pretty solid career to this point. So I appreciate the call.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Got this caller on the line now, 412-928-9370. Good morning. What's your name?
Josh.
What's up, Josh?
Wow. What'd you think of Willie Castro bunting to break up his strike record there?
It was weak. I put that on social media immediately after it happened. It was weak. I'm not a big fan of that happening.
Pretty sure that Skeens, by lip reading, called him a bitch. It was pretty funny.
Well, we can't say that word on the air in that context, but yeah. Yeah, that caller makes a good point. He said that he heard somebody say a bad word. You can't say the bad word, though, on the radio. So, yeah, we can't use that word in that context. I won't let that happen. Got to be a little bit more discreet when describing what players are calling other players on the television when you see it going on in the game. All right, cool. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You can give me a phone call, and we'll keep those calls going about Skeens. Yeah, that's something. I don't know if there are unwritten rules about this particular instance. I mean, do you not bunt? I mean, you don't want to bunt to try to break up a no-hitter. I think that's something that will frustrate pitchers. But Paul Skeens had a streak of 6 consecutive strikeouts through the first 2 innings, and then to open the 3rd inning, Rockies' Willie Castro bunted and broke that streak up. Paul Skeens ended up throwing only 4 pitches in the 3rd inning, which I thought was freaking awesome. The fact that, despite the fact that he lost the strikeout streak, he actually had his most efficient inning of the evening. So, yeah, that's for sure. That's good. It's not a bad thing. Yeah, I thought it was weak, though. I mean, try to hit the baseball, man. You know, the Rockies aren't good this season, and just doing that, I thought that was weak. A team that's boasting its best record in the last 3 seasons is this record where they came in, what, at 16-25 they were? Let me just double-check that. But Dan Zangrilli, I listened to the North Shore Tavern leadoff show a little bit, and Dan had mentioned that the Rockies were boasting that they had the best record in the last 3 seasons because they had 7 wins last season at this point in time, and they had 12 wins in 2024 at this time. Yeah, and they came in at 16-25. I had that remembered correctly. Now they're 16-26. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's weak. I mean, that, you know, I think take the beating. I don't know. Don't, but, like, I just think bunting to end that is rough. I mean, swing the bat, try to get a hit. You know, and he bunted it right back to the pitcher. I mean, I thought that was rough. I didn't like that. I mean, we're all trying to watch history, and it's like we're all trying to watch quality baseball and quality pitching and try to see how long Paul Skeens can legitimately hold a streak. And I think that when teams, even how bad they may be, even teams, you know, that do that, I think that ruins the game. I think that ruins the game a little bit. Because you're depriving us of seeing history because you want to lay down a bunt when you're not even trying to get a hit. So it seemed to me that he wasn't even trying to get a hit. And it's just bad for the game. I just think it's bad for the game. It's not entertaining to watch somebody bunt when a guy's on a roll like that. I mean, you want to get to the 5th or 6th inning and you want to try to generate some offense in a close game, I get that. But I mean, man, it was the 3rd inning. I didn't love it. I thought it was weak. So that's my opinion on that. So thanks for the question. I appreciate that. 412-928-9370. Get a phone line. Got a few more minutes left to talk, so we can talk about, you know, how good do you think Skeens is going to be? Do you have anything particular from that game that you want to dissect? Skeens, again, 8 innings pitched. There hasn't been a scoreless stretch of 2 games. Let me try that again. I said that weirdly. A pitcher has not thrown 8 innings and given up no hits in 2 consecutive starts since 1996 for the Pirates. And if you want to talk about the last pitcher to go back-to-back starts of 8 innings and giving up 2 or fewer hits in those consecutive starts, you'd have to go back to Steve Blass in the late 1960s. That's how good Paul Skeens has been down this stretch. Remember, he also was throwing a no-no against the Milwaukee Brewers before that got broken up late. But, yeah, 2 games now straight where he's thrown 8 innings pitched, and he's made some history because it hasn't been done in a pretty long time for both counts. Again, 8 scoreless innings in back-to-back games hasn't been done since 96. Back-to-back 8-inning scoreless outings, giving up 2 or fewer hits, hasn't been done since Steve Blass did it back when he pitched in the 60s. So, Good stuff by Skeens. I mean, I really, I don't, I wonder, depending on how well the Pirates do and how well they finish the season, I mean, the fact that Paul Skeens can, I mean, other than that game against the Cardinals and the game against the Mets to open the season, where he had some rough outings, I mean, he has been pretty much untouchable, and it just makes me continue to grind the gears in my head of, man, could this guy really be a finalist or even win the National League Most Valuable Player Award? I mean, just think about how good he's done, and think about it. I mean, six consecutive strikeouts to open a game, and he was so good that the Rockies had to bunt. They had to bunt to break that up. Just saying. That's something to look at. He is the most feared, I think, pitcher right now in the National League, if not in all of Major League Baseball. I guess if you're talking about, I'll say starting pitcher, because I know Mason Miller's been on a streak where he is probably the most feared relief pitcher of all of them. But I think Skeens is the most feared starter. He's one of the most feared pitchers in Major League Baseball. And you watched Colorado have to bunt to end a strikeout streak that he had. I mean, that, like, what does that tell you? So I'm saying Major League Baseball and all the writers and people that vote on this kind of thing, Paul Skeens for Most Valuable Player, 2026. Let's make it happen. 412-928-9370. Got this caller now. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. This is your buddy Dave from Hermitage.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I'm bad with names, but the pitching coach, I actually think helped Skeens this year, and because they talk after every – After every start.
That's Bill Murphy you're thinking of, by the way, just to give him credit for his name. He's a nice man. I met him once.
Yeah. it's like, what, 5:30 and 1 and 2. But, no, I mean, they found some things to make him even better. And, actually, I'm going to go this route, the whole staff. They are probably, if they pitch like they're capable of, probably the best rotation in baseball, at least the top five rotation in baseball. Dodgers got a pretty good rotation too, and so the Cubs. But you know, hey, I credit that too. And Skeens, yeah, he's lights out, dude. I don't know what else to say. Hopefully, we can sign him to a 5-year, $700 million contract so we can keep the guy around. But that's probably not happening. So, but hey, you have a good. This is my Friday, so you have a good Wednesday hump day.
My man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to end this show pretty quickly. Kay Collier on the YouTube chat said the opposition is under no obligation to help the home team set any records. I get that. I mean, that's not a bad opinion. I understand where you're coming from. I just think it's not good for the game if you're a team and you're a weaker team and you're just going to bunt, especially against a guy like Paul Skeens. I think it's not good for the game. I understand where you're coming from. The Rockies have no obligation to do anything for the Pirates. But, I mean, it's not good for the game. I mean, did that bunt serve a purpose? Was he actually trying to get a hit? Willie Castro, not the fastest of players. You know, it's all about intent. And I just don't think it's good for the game if your intention wasn't to get a hit in that situation. So, oh well. But I appreciate the perspective, Kay Collier, on the YouTube chat. I get it. I think that's a fair point, and that's a fair contention there by you.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.